This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brewski.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The case against Alec Murtaugh, which could see a sequel trial. The Supreme Court of South Carolina still yet to decide that, but there's more and more weight being put on this decision, and that's in the form of juror number 785, now known as Egg Lady. Why Egg Lady? Because she brought a dozen eggs in that morning. I don't know why she brought a dozen eggs in that morning, but she brought a dozen eggs in that morning, and when she was dismissed, she had to go get her eggs. Now forever, Egg Lady. The big thing with her, she was dismissed because there was an alleged Facebook post that was brought to the attention of Judge Clifton Newman by, you guessed it, Becky Hill. The problem is this Facebook post that supposedly showed bias from this juror's ex-husband. It never really existed. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. But the judge did look at something and said, okay, so where did that post come from? Because it wasn't from the ex-husband. It wasn't from the juror. Becky's the one who brought it up. That's the question. Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, joining me to analyze Becky Hill and what the hell happened here. What's your thoughts on all this and all of this information sealed right now, and I'm guessing because this is going to end up being a big part of the Supreme Court case.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the juror. I really do. Yeah. She was a scapegoat for a highly manipulative Becky Hill.
Yeah,
I mean, Becky Hill single-handedly has prevented justice from transpiring. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she's still holding up the system, the appeal, whether it's effective and goes through or not. It's all her fault. Everything here, you know, undermining our justice system and our faith in it is all because of her. And it's still puzzling to me how she, that's not puzzling to me. I mean, she must have been extremely likable, very affable. She endears herself to the juror. She endears herself to the judge. She endears herself to everyone because on her word alone, she got this juror thrown out. It just really bothers me that she was allowed to continue in that position. Again, we don't know the backstory. We don't know the relationships that are there, but obviously she had strong relationships and was able to forge them with a lot of people unbeknownst to them for nothing but her own gain.
Yeah. I mean, very covertly, is how she would then, I mean, it gets probably covert narcissism is what we're talking about here, where she wanted to steer the ship her own way, but she didn't do it in any sort of grand verbose way. It was, oh, look at this Facebook post. Like, what do you think about that? You know, I can't, you know, she knew how to get what she wanted and probably got away with it for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got life reps at it. I like your term there, covert narcissism.
Yeah.
No doubt. And it's unfortunately, you know, we're seeing lots more data points continuing emerging around this case, but it'd be interesting. I'm sure people from her background are rethinking a lot of things that she's been involved with throughout time. You know, I think this was just the tip of the iceberg, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's sad. It's just sad because she got involved with such a pivotal, important case where lives are lost and destroyed along the way by Murtaugh and his family, that all of it might be completely overturned. Yeah. Hard to imagine, though. It's so hard to imagine. You know, they've done outside of, I'm thinking about this, outside of her, this case was handled very, very well, I thought. Mm-hmm. Especially since when you think about the intrinsic, you know, talking about fear factor, you know, we're just talking about Combs. Same thing, you know, where he has his tendrils that stretch far and wide, worldwide, that people have a hard time wanting to come out. That's why he's still behind bars, because they fear of his jury tampering. Same thing with the Murtaugh family here. I mean, very, very entrenched in that whole region. So for the justice system to do as well as they were doing to prosecute him, to convict him, but for her, it would have been fine.
You know, it's interesting and it's kind of scary just how much one person can have this much influence on a trial. And she was caught, but what about those who are not caught? I mean, it makes you wonder, you know, that position that she was in, she got to see what was going on behind the scenes with that jury. She had the ability to influence it in covert ways. In some ways, you know, obviously she sounded somewhat overt with some of the accusations of what she had said aloud. And one of the jurors did say, in fact, that yes, she did influence my decision. And then you have this. I mean, if you were to take out the tampering allegations of overtly saying, you know, really watch what he's saying because he's lying or whatever she had said out loud. If you didn't have that and everything went through, I don't know that we'd even know about this. I don't know that anyone would have looked into this that much further. And it kind of makes you wonder, well, what other cases has she done this with, or what other cases have other clerk of courts done this with? Because it's a little in. It's a way that you could, if you know what's going on behind the scenes, you know, this one juror might be a holdout, which is kind of what the theory is on this one, getting him removed. It doesn't seem like it was that hard to do.
No, a lot of breadcrumbs are dropped. It was interesting. Again, I don't know how it was presented to the judge or how she influenced the world around her. But in general, if you're going to have the greatest influence on someone and do what I call not manipulate them to take action, but inspire them to take action, because people need to feel an ownership and feel safe with the choices they're making. And when you have a criminal justice system that's based on really cognitive, thoughtful actions that are checks and balances, it's very hard to tell someone to do something that's outside of that. Mm-hmm. So you have to inspire them. And in order to do that, you have to have great rapport and great trust and credibility that people have in you. And you do that by these four keys to the communication: seeking the thoughts and opinions of others instead of telling them what you think. So was she asking questions and about what their thoughts and opinions are? Talking in terms of their priorities. So she probably always framed it according to what she knew the judge wanted and needed to hear for his priorities. Yep. Validated the things they were saying by they came up with sentence, said, wow, that's a really interesting thought, judge, and everything like that. And finally, empowering them with choices. And so instead of saying we need to remove this juror because of XYZ, she's laying out, like you said, here's the actions they're taking. What do you think we should do about it? That inspires people to want to take action. So she's framing the entire world around these individuals that he's trying to influence. And generally, that's what people do when they want to have, as you say, covert narcissism.
Yeah. It's let me make you think that this was your idea. 100%. But in fact, it's hers. If that's not jury tampering, I don't know what is with this case.
Well, the great thing about this, I'm always a glass half full, you know, silver lining on things, is I still have faith in the system. He will remain behind bars. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that is great about this, no system is perfect or flawless. Mm-hmm. Every time we have a blip like this, we seal that hole, we firm it up really good, and we don't let that happen again. So hopefully all the other jurisdictions and all the other courts out there will see this, because it's really highly publicized. Yep. And some good patches will be put on that system to not allow the court of the clerk to be able to have this kind of influence on the judge in the future.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feast on the good stuff.